that you would have your way in each and every one of our hearts. That there'd be no resistance, there'd be no second guessing you, Lord, but we'd let you move in our midst and in our beings. We just thank you, Lord, that you have given us, Lord, life and life abundantly. And Lord, I pray that that reality would come to a greater fruition in each and every one of us today. So as we leave this place, Lord, we would move in a greater depth and a greater understanding, Lord, of being your children, of being your representatives, Lord, in this lost and dying world. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant through the trial and the change. One thing. you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, and knowing the battle's won, but you have never failed me yet. The promise still stands, great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. Still in your hands, this is my confidence. You never failed me yet. I know the night won't last, your work will come to will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. We'll be right back.
So this song is really appropriate for today's message. When I was picking the songs, I wasn't thinking of this, but you know how the Lord works things out. Yes. Okay. We will pray for him right now. Just for the Lord's peace and just his hand in the situation.
Just to take care of the whole situation and plus prayer for the
Lord. Okay. Do you want me to explain what's going on? Or?
Yeah.
So Ken, Phyllis's husband, this week accidentally hit someone with probably his mirror in his truck. And the girl... A pedestrian, yeah, sorry, pedestrian. And so she suffered a concussion, and they're saying some broken bones. And Ken is, I saw him on Friday, and he's in pretty good spirits, but still there's still the weight of the situation, the insurance, and all of those other things. So we're going to pray for God to just intervene in this, okay? So Father, we just come before you right now, your throne of grace, and we bring Ken before you, Lord. And we just thank you, God, that he is yours, child, that you have watched over him, Lord, his entire life. And Lord, you have you knew the situation before it happened. And Lord, you knew what their needs would be. And you knew, Lord, what the needs of their hearts and their souls would be. So, Father, we just pray right now that you would meet all of those needs, Lord, that are in this family and for this lady, Lord, that was hit. We just pray, God, that you would allow your grace, your mercy, your supernatural healing, Lord, to come right now in Jesus' name, and that there would be a restoration that would take place in this circumstance, in this situation, Lord, that you would be glorified. We just ask you to bless Ken, Lord. Continue to let him experience, Lord, you and his fullness of your presence, and continue to draw him to yourself. And bless Phyllis, Lord, as she has to also deal with it. Give her wisdom and give her, Lord, the guidance by the Holy Spirit. We just ask this now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Oh, ministering spirits. So this is a message that we kind of really briefly got into on Wednesday night. Wednesday night is a men's group that meets periodically. We haven't met for like 2.5 months, it seems like. And but we got to meet at Zeke's on Wednesday night. I know, Tim, you were like, oh, man, I forgot. Well, you've been out of the flow so long, right? Yeah. So hopefully we'll get into some kind of a routine here soon, but we're still working it out. But we ended up talking a little bit about Psalm 91. And what prefaced this is, I don't know how much you guys follow the news or anything, but is the virus that's becoming basically like a full epidemic in China and is now spreading to other parts of the world. And
isn't that a pandemic?
It's considered an epidemic right now. It's not a pandemic yet. But the World Health Organization has made a statement that they are declaring it an emergency, and they didn't limit it to how much travel they were going to restrict or trade or anything like that yet. But our president has actually made an announcement that he was going to restrict travel to certain parts of Asia, and definitely no travel at all to China. So what does this mean for us? Well, there's nothing wrong with being prepared. There's nothing wrong with making sure that you maybe have, as crazy as it may sound, a mask that filters out these type of viruses. And that would be, if you want to know, an N95 mask. Zeke says he has a whole bunch of them. They're basically masks that Sanders use, because it keeps the respiration properly without getting small microscopic elements in your lungs. So what really came to me, though, is that we, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, the Bible says, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. So again, it doesn't hurt. God doesn't sit there and go, oh, you know, they're believing in me, yet they're taking precautions. I mean, that's not the way God is. You know, he knows where we're coming from. He knows the limited understanding that we have. So even though we may take precautions, that doesn't mean that we're not trusting him. You know, it's like when we go on flight insurance, when we're going to go and fly someplace, we don't know what circumstances might have. So we get insurance that will cover us in case something happens, and then we can get a refund. And case in point, when we were going on our 20th anniversary, we were going to go to Cabo San Lucas, and
first trip ever.
I ordered the tickets that day, and I got that insurance. That afternoon, I got a call from Kay, who's Gay's sister, who was arranging this place that we could go to, and a hurricane hit that day. Totally took out the resort. And the resort never reopened. And so we were able to get our refund.
Get our ticket back. Yeah.
So, you know, it doesn't hurt to prepare. I know there's some individuals, they've got 2 years, you know, they've got, you know, a bunker, they've got all those things. And, you know, if that's where they're at, I'm not going to condemn them, that, you know, and I'm not going to say that God's not going to bless them, because we don't know that maybe the Lord's put that in them, that wisdom in them. But so today I was thinking about this idea that we have ministering spirits. And what ministering spirits are angels. And that angels are not just, something that is in heaven before the throne of God, but that angels, Paul said that, you know, we might even entertain angels unaware. So you might meet somebody that you think is a real person, and it could be an angel. But these angels are not, someone say something? Oh, these angels are not, maybe angel talk, yeah. These angels are not, just there just to, you know, watch us and see what we do. They're called ministering spirits. And it's the same word, the same word that we use for deacons. And what's a deacon do? A deacon serves. And so the angels of God are there to help us, to assist us. And I believe that's with many things. So let's read through Psalm 91, and then we'll look at a couple other scriptures. How many have heard of Psalm 91 before? Years ago, the Lord put on my heart to memorize it. It's one of the first scriptures I memorized.
Go.
No, I can't do it anymore. I have all the thoughts of it, but I can't quote it verbatim. I used to be able to quote it verbatim backwards and forwards and stuff. But it was one of those scriptures. The Lord, you know, he did that with 1 Corinthians 13, and he did this with Psalm 91. This is like 6 months he had me in this memorizing. I could quote it, and it wasn't like something, a memory verse that the Lord, that because I'd done memory verses and stuff. But this is something the Lord put on my heart. And so I believe it's valid for us today. I don't think it's something that's just for the Old Testament or for just the Hebrews or Jews.
Yeah, yesterday went to Ellensburg to my normal Sabbath meeting.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And I read Psalm 91 to them, and we talked about the coronavirus and all that.
Right.
And just, you know, we claimed Psalm 91 then, and now you do this.
Thank you, Lord, though.
Thank you, Lord,
that's God wanting to minister to us, that he would keep bringing.
Last days, we need to know this stuff.
Right. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. And so what does he see? He sees all the angels that are all around us. He sees the full kingdom. He's not limited to just the sight that we have.
Right.
So if he could open our eyes, open our hearts at the very most, and our spirits, there would be no reason to fear. There's no be reason, but some people say, well, you know, some people believe and then something happens to them. Well, if something happens to them, there's also the will of the Lord. There's also things, you know, I mean, we can see many times that the disciples in the New Testament, they were saved out of certain circumstances. Then we can see other times they weren't saved out of certain circumstances. And God was glorified in all of them.
Yeah.
Exactly. To die is to gain. Not everybody wants to
gain it.
Yeah. Can I get a cheer for dying? No, not many people are going to go for that cheer this morning. So, but go ahead, hon.
Okay. Psalm 91, 1 through 16. Whoever lives under the shelter of the Most High will remain in the shadow of the Almighty. Let me just read that again. Isn't that just wonderful? Whoever. Sounds like a choice we have. But whoever lives under the shelter of the Most High will remain in the shadow of the Almighty. Such power there. I will say to the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He's the one who will rescue you from hunter's traps and from deadly plagues.
There we go. There's one. Deadly plagues.
He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His truth is your shield and armor. You do not need to fear terrors of the night, arrows that fly during the day, plagues that roam the dark, epidemics that strike at noon.
Epidemics, there we go.
They will not come near you, even though 1,000 may fall dead beside you, or 10,000 at your right side. You only have to look with your eyes to see the punishment of the wicked people. You, O Lord, are my refuge. You have made the Most High your home. No harm will come to you. No sickness will come near your house. He will put his angels in charge of you to protect you in all your ways. They will carry you in their hands so that you never hit your foot against a rock. You will step on lions and cobras. You will trample young lions and snakes. Because you love me, I will rescue you. I will protect you because you know my name. When you call to me, I will answer you. I will be with you when you are in trouble. I will save you and honor you. I will satisfy you with a long life. I will show you how I will save you.
Amen. Isn't that a great psalm?
That's a great scripture, yeah.
So going back, well, you could go a long ways, but if you look at this part here, he will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you will find refuge. There's this all through the scriptures where we get this idea that God is like covering us, overshadowing us as like a hen covers her chickens. You know, there's it's a nurturing, but it's also a protection. Mm-hmm. And so his truth is your shield and armor. You know, he is our strength and our shield, as that song said. I mean, he is the reason why we can be confident that no plague will come near our dwelling. And you know, sometimes when I get like colds and stuff, you know, I go like, no plague will come near my dwelling, you know. And then just because it does come near my dwelling doesn't mean that this isn't still truth. It's like we know that Jesus is our healer, right? And is he just our healer sometimes? Mm-mm. He's our healer all the time. He is our healer, but it doesn't always manifest in us, whether it be our own faith or whether it be circumstances that are you know, we're in because we're learning and growing, and there's a timeline. I don't know all of that, but we still have to believe. We still have to be confident. We still have to be able to say, you know what, Lord, I'm gonna trust you. Now, even beyond all of that, you know, in us as his children, as people who have believed in him and received that light of the glorious gospel into our hearts, I believe that even our DNA is being changed. There's a great testimony of a great evangelist, and now I'm the guy in Spokane. Oh, do you remember him? The
Lake
John G. Lake. Thank you, John G. Lake. He was in Africa with his family, and there was a terrible plague. I mean, it was like a plague that people like Ebola. It was like they were dropping dead. It wasn't Ebola, but it was like that. And they couldn't find any workers to help. And so, you know, because they didn't want to go in and die. So John gave his offer to them. I'll go in there and I'll help, you know. So he was carrying all these dead bodies, you know, getting them, you know, and helping the wounded and the sick and all those individuals that, you know, needed help. And he was, you know, never getting sick. And they go like, what's going on here? And this is documented. And so they said, you know, you must have like some kind of ability to fight this virus because, or whatever it was, plague. And he goes, oh, well, no, it's like I'm covered. I'm protected. You know, I'm Christ, you know, child, you know. And John believed where it says in John that just as he is, so are we in this world. And so John really believed that as Jesus was in his fullness, John was in this, John G. Lake was in that same capability, had that same state, exactly. So they took his blood and they put it on a microscope and they took this virus or this plague, whatever it was, and put it on his blood and it eradicated the plague, his blood did. Yeah, isn't that crazy? But again, he had a belief, he had an understanding, he had a revelation that came to him that just as Jesus was, so was he. And so he lived his life that way. Now, I've heard of people, you know, getting these ideas like, oh, you know, John G. Lake did this. And so they jump into something and they get basically almost where they're testing God, like where Satan goes to Jesus. Well, says in Psalm 91 that, you know, you can throw yourself off of this temple and they're going to lift you up so that you don't stump, you know, or fall, or you're not going to trip over a rock. He didn't give the full scripture. He just said, hey, you can. Do this. You're the Son of God. You don't have to worry about it. And what did Jesus say? I'm not going to test God. Yeah. Thou shalt not test God. Even Jesus, the Son of God, said, oh, I'm not going to do that just to prove something. Because we don't have to do things to prove something. And unfortunately, maybe sometimes people hear something, a testimony, oh, I'm going to do that same thing. Even when it comes to testimonies of people who received the healing, didn't ever have to use any medication, didn't have to do something. Someone else hears that, and then they go and they just do it because someone else did it. But they're not doing it because they're hearing it from the Lord or it's something that's in their heart. It has to be something that we have our own conviction for. We all have to be able to believe what we really truly believe and not just do something because we've heard somebody else's testimony. Does that make sense? We can use that to increase our faith, but we still have to hear from the Lord that, yes, this is what I want you to do. Does that make sense? Okay. So in 6, are we at 6? Plagues that roam the dark or epidemics that strike at noon. So this coronavirus is already an epidemic in China. I don't know if you guys get, you know, much news or something, but you can go and you can look at Shanghai and you can look at Wuhan, which is a city of about 12 million. It's one of the smaller cities in China, believe it or not. But they have pictures, these 6-lane highways, completely blank. There's no traffic. They're empty. And you know, that right there, for them, is a plague. People are in their homes. They're waiting till the incubation period of the virus goes, which is 14 days. But they've closed their schools until March. Yeah?
I just sent Gay the update as of this morning from the virus coming out of China.
Oh, yeah.
So you got an email. It really spelled it all
out. Right. And the thing is what's that? They have cruise ships that are being quarantined. Yeah.
They didn't even come in.
Well, and they're doing their very best to try to stop it. But what I'm trying to say is to that community and pretty much all of China, they have an epidemic. And it has spread to other places of the world. So we need to realize that we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where there is pestilence, disease, cancers, you know, all kinds of stuff that it rains on the just and the unjust. I mean, just because we're here doesn't mean that it's never going, you know, just because we're his doesn't mean that it's not going to touch us. Does that make sense? And the reason I wanted to bring this up is because I personally have been seeing, and I'm a numbers guy, okay? And I do spreadsheets and stuff, and I actually have a spreadsheet that I ran on it, and I go, oh boy, if this follows its same train that it's on, it could be affecting all of us. And so I really felt that it was good to encourage everyone who maybe start to hear bad news, and that you'll be able to tell others, no, wait a minute, you don't have to feel that way. The Lord can be your refuge and your strength. He can be your fortress. Could be a time of great witnessing that people would cry out to God because, you know, when they're sinking sand, all of a sudden people are going to run, hope for a rope, you know? And even if Jesus is at the other end of the rope, they're going to grab the rope. And maybe they'll connect with Jesus, but we can at least help them get them out of their situation. Bob, I can see you're chomping at the bit. Oh, I didn't know that. That makes sense. It's a college town. That's probably places that are going to get hit first is college towns. Don't mean to scare anybody.
We've been walking around, and so it's come close. You know?
Yeah.
And they haven't confirmed it yet because of the incubation period.
Right, 14 days.
But also, the first verse, I noticed the translation that you used, it said the shelter, but in the King James it says the secret place.
Secret place in the Most High, yeah.
And that's a place where you have to seek for, you know. And, you know, we're not going to, as believers, we're not going to be covered if we're not aware of this. And if we don't claim it, because the devil comes to destroy us, and we have to use the word against him.
Well, and the main thing is to defeat the fear that can come. Like Eve's in, and I don't know if it's a grace or something, I'm able to look at, you know, catastrophes and stuff. And even if, you know, even if something was to happen, I know that I'm in Christ. We're in God. And, you know, it's, I'm not saying, you know, gay, sarah, sarah, whatever it will be. But there is a certain amount of, like, I'm in his hands. And so, you know, he's gonna use us as long as he can use us, as long as we're willing to be used. But I'm not afraid. There's no reason to be afraid. Some would say, well, you're older and you've already done things you want to do, so you're not worried about dying. Well, no, when I got saved, I wasn't worried about dying anymore. Before that, I was terrified. Man, you start mentioning dying to me, it's like, oh, I don't want to die, you know. And there was just, you know, a fear. Because there wasn't a fear of the unknown, right? I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if where I'm going to go after this. But once I knew where I was going, all that fear went away. You didn't have years of not walking with the Lord, but a few, right? Or not that many.
As a child.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been in the Lord so long that I never had a fear. However, I remember, and I think I said this maybe last week, oh Lord, don't come until I get married, because I want to really be married. Oh Lord, don't come until I have a baby. I really want to have a baby. Okay, now you can come. Like, it's like some girls.
You put them on your timeline. Yeah.
Some girls think that way. Yeah. But it isn't, I didn't have a fear of anything. Like when we would go in airplanes and stuff, I really didn't have a fear that, you know, about the plane going down. That was because all I would think is my mind would say to my heart that because I wanted to be afraid, I would say, okay, wait a second. To be absent of this body is to be present with God. So I'm going to be okay. It's all the rest of the people that I leave that I'm worried about.
Right.
I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about the rest of the people. So, but you know what? That's, God tells us we have to guard our hearts and minds with all diligence. And all diligence even talks, I mean, it's about the fears of life, that we could spend our whole time thinking about catching this or getting that or having an accident or going down and play or whatever, that we don't see what he has for us right in front of us.
Don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So afraid about tomorrow that we miss what today had for us, right?
Right, right.
So in Psalm 34:7, it says, go ahead. Are you there?
Hold on. No, I'm not there. The messenger angel of the Lord camps around those who fear him, and he rescues them.
That fearing him, that's part of relying on him to be your secret place. Relying on him to be your shelter, your strong tower. You know, there's the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe, another one says. So there is the angel of the Lord. And I don't know how that, you know, how that works. Some people believe that all of us have a guardian angel, and it's very possible. I have not ever met mine, you know. Some people believe that our guardian angel could look like us, because if you, and possibly sound like us, because when Peter was in prison and he came to the house where they were praying for him to be released from prison, he knocks on the door and the people said, oh, it's just his angel that's there. It's not Peter. So they were taking, she was saying, oh, Peter's here. Oh no, it's just his angel. So they had a little bit of different understanding than we did. Here's another one. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they couldn't hurt me. He did this because he considered me innocent, Your Majesty. I haven't committed any crime. This is Daniel after he was thrown in the den of lions because he was praying three times a day. And King Nebuchadnezzar made a, or his son, was it Nebuchadnezzar? It was Nebuchadnezzar, I think.
Yeah.
Made a law that he could not pray. And he was kind of hoodwinked into making that law. And he had to throw Daniel into the den of lions. And what ended up happening is those lions could not eat. And so Daniel had the revelation. There were angels holding those lions' mouths shut. Mm-hmm. Probably more than one angel, right? Because if a den of lions, I don't know how many lions were in there, but
there was a lot of them, I'm sure.
So again, the angel of the Lord rescuing him. Okay, so here's another one, Matthew 4:11. Go ahead and read that.
Then the devil left him, and angels came to take care of him.
So this is Jesus. After he had been tempted by the devil, we know that he was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and we know that he didn't have food. We don't know about water, but could have been without water as well. But he ended up having ministering spirits come to him, angels come to him, and they cared for him. Isn't that cool?
I love that.
Well, I mean, Jesus is our example, right? So if angels came to him in a time of need, are we open? Yeah?
I have a story about that.
You have a story? Okay.
Probably 5 or 6 years ago, we had a couple here, Pastor Dan and Brenda Rogers. And for some of you that know them, know that Pastor Brenda passed away from breast cancer. And I remember when we went over to their house, because we were really good friends. We went over to their house and we ministered to them and loved on them and stuff. I remember several times when I would come up to the house, get a sense almost to the point of seeing two angels standing guard on either side of the house. Now, everybody can look at this story and say, well, she died. But I will tell you right now, the comfort of knowing that the angels were standing guard over them during that time, it brought such peace to their hearts. Dan would ask me several times when I would come over, he'd ask me, are the angels here? And I said, the angels never leave. Like, they're standing guard on either end of the house. Like, nothing is going to get by us. And that it really ministered to their hearts. So I'm thinking to myself, because I remember really how peaceful Brenda was about going.
Mm-hmm.
All she said to Danny was, I'm dying, aren't I? And this was when she was already in hospice. And she just knew she was dying. And he said yes. And she's like, okay, no big deal, you know. It was to be absent in her body was to be present with God. So there was really no fear for her. I think the fear that we have about that kind of thing is more about the change or the new normal that we will have left on earth. Those of us that are left here.
The new normal. Exactly.
A different
That's
normal.
What it is. Yep.
And it's a fear because we don't know what that looks like.
How we're going to make
it. I remember when that whole week after Pastor Brenda died, how I mean, because they were such good friends of ours, but God gave us such a calm to be able to minister to everybody that was really hurting. But I noticed that same strength for the family. I noticed that God was so close to them that they still had a strength. So, angels, yeah, I believe in them. I do. I really do.
Yeah.
And, Amen. You know, don't shoot the messenger. I really do.
Well, and what's that? It's in the Bible. That's true. And I have a dear friend, and he's a minister. He's of the gospel. And over the past few years, he's become more aware of the angelic presence around him, to the place where he realizes that some of the messages and stuff that he's gotten have been delivered by them. And, you know, it's some people say, well, it's the Holy Spirit. It's like, well, the deal is it's God's kingdom, you know, however God wants to do it. They are called messengers, right? What do messengers usually have? Messages, right? So so he picked up that revelation. But there's, you know, the thing is that we're not, yeah, and this is one thing that people get worried about. Well, if we start talking about angels, we'll worship them. Give me a break. I'm not going to worship an angel. I don't have a desire to worship an angel. I'm appreciative of them. I know that they're part of God's kingdom. The Bible says that someday we'll judge angels. So it sounds like in some ways there's going to be a time when the hierarchy changes. Mm-hmm. Right now we look at them as the greater being because we're in this physical realm and they've got the upper hand on us because they
their
see both.
Their understanding is so much greater.
Their understanding is wider. Yeah. Exactly. But, you know, they're here to support us and help us to be everything that we're meant to be in God. They're not just here to, you know, to mow our lawns. You know, that's not the kind of service that we're talking about. Their service is to, I believe, well, as we read in Hebrews 1:14, let's take a look. What are the angels? They are spirits sent to serve those who are going to receive salvation. And so we're receiving salvation. We have salvation. So they're there to serve us, not in a, a subservient way. They're there to serve us so that we can make it through this life, so that we can be supported, so we can get, like Jesus needed them to serve him. Probably, we know, for all we know, maybe they brought him food after that fast. You know, they were caring for him. They were helping him through the difficult time. We don't know what kind of pressure even put on Christ when he had to go through the temptation with the devil, right? You know, it could have wore him out, that battle. So the reason I wanted to communicate this again is that we are not alone. We're not facing whatever comes our way, whether it be a plague or whether it be persecution, whether it be, you know, something epidemic. That would be, epidemic, or whether it be just plain issues of life, things that happen in our life. We're not alone. And God has ministering spirits out there for us. He has angels that are there to support us as well as himself. They are full representatives of him. When it says that he's given them charge, that means that he's given them a command to watch over us. Now, this is getting a little sidetracked, but in the book of Genesis, we read in 6 that it talks about these Nephilim is what they were called. And they were to watch over mankind. And that was their job. And they were to make sure that, you know, that we were doing okay. And these Nephilim stepped out of their bounds as they left their first estate. And they had sex with women. And there were then giants in the land. So we know that the angels have been having a command to watch over us for a long time. And whether these Nephilim are the same type of angels that we have today, I don't know for sure. But I do know that we are not alone. We see in the scriptures when this whole army came in front of Elisha and his servant. And they were being faced with the idea of like, oh, we're going to take you, you know, because you've been ratting on our information to the king, and we haven't been able to win our battles because they always know where we're going to be, and you guys are ahead of the game. And his servant's like shaking in his boots, like, oh no, what's going on here? I don't know what we're going to do, you know. And Elijah said, hey, listen, there's more here than this huge army with us than there are with them. What do you mean? And he said, Lord, open his eyes. When he opened his eyes, the whole mountains were full of the armies of the Lord.
Angels of the Lord.
Well, the angels' armies. Yeah. Basically, they were full. And the servant, oh, wow, okay, we're good. And maybe we just need to have that happen to us more often. Realize that we're good. We're going to be okay. So does anyone have anything else to share?
The Lord is the commander of the heaven's armies.
He is the commander of those armies, yep. Myla.
And it's just, you know, God's just waiting for our prayers.
Right.
You know, we start praying for our child. We don't know what God, the Lord puts it on our heart to, you know, pray for our child. And we start praying for our child. And then that's when God sends out the angels to fight the demons that the child is facing. You know, that the angels are just waiting in heaven. Like, can we go fight some demons today, God? Can we go fight some demons today? And
I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah. Amen.
They're so powerful, aren't they?
You know, they are, yes.
Yeah.
You know, the power of prayer is unreal.
Yeah.
When we are in the spirit praying, mm-hmm. it's mountain moving. It's that faith of a mustard seed,
mm-hmm.
like John G.
Lake.
You know, he had that faith of a mustard seed, and he was able to move the mountain of that virus because he had that faith inside of him.
Amen. That's good.
He was a man of prayer, too.
He's a man of prayer. Yep. Bunny.
It's been said not to forget to thank your angels.
Yeah.
For the work they do.
It's probably not a bad idea.
Thank them for being there. Thank them for being
we appreciate, there. Yeah.
Don't forget once in a while to say thank you to your angels.
I've given this testimony before, but maybe not everyone's heard it. I was driving down 5th Avenue, or 3rd Avenue, and I was coming, you know, where Bi-Mart is, and there's a cross streets that come out of Bi-Mart and they come on to 3rd Avenue. And it was early in the morning, probably about 8:30 or so. And I was just driving along, just normal. And I likened it to the Holy Spirit. For all I know now, it was an angel that said, slow down. Now I'm driving down a road, there's nothing around me. There's cars coming on the opposite side, but I'm not thinking anything. Slow down. Okay, put my foot on the brake, slow down. At that very moment, a car ran a stop sign coming from Bi-Mart. I couldn't see it because there was a large building there, some kind of upholstery shop. And I ended up, it went right in front of me and then hit oncoming traffic on the other side. And I said, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank the angel maybe too. I never, you know, because it was like a voice said, slow down, you know, like, oh, okay. And so I did. And, you know. That's very possible.
Exactly.
I also know that, and I believe that the Lord uses, like you said, the messengers to prompt us to do what we're told to do.
Right.
Right.
And so, but as I'm sitting there, and Ah.
To touch me. And then I'm like, I didn't hear that. I didn't feel that. And then again, it touched me and said, you need to go.
Nudging you. Did you go up? Did you go up?
Yes, I did.
Good, I'm glad to hear that.
I went up, and they barely even got to me, and I couldn't talk for the rest of the night because the piece that hit me from the bottom of my toes to the top of my head was extreme. I couldn't talk anymore. My pain was gone. The pain that I was going through, some emotional stuff with losing my grandmother, all of that was gone, and I was in this total bubble of peace for that night. And attitude or whatever, you know what I mean?
How sounds like you had some angelic activity.
Right, and so, and I also felt them here in this church.
Yeah.
Before.
I have too. I believe that, you know, we're probably all here because of their works, and we don't know that. We don't know how many accidents that we've avoided. We don't know how many, you know, situations that we haven't gotten into because, for whatever reason, things were redirected. I believe that they're part of God's watching over us.
I believe it.
And so just know that no matter what news comes this week or how things escalate, whether it be with the economy or whether it be with our health or something with the whole world system, know that we're not alone and that he's with us and that he's not only with us, he sent messengers to be with us. Isn't that good news? I mean, it really means that he's watching over us. He really cares for us. Bunny?
Can you elaborate on your friend who's a pastor that is getting more and more angelic spirit?
Oh, elaborate?
Yeah.
Well, he just, he's in his 70s, and he's just never been, I pray that when I'm get, because he's later 70s, when I get to be his age, that I keep that desire for all that God has for him. He's always been wanting God all the time. And so I met with him over lunch about 4 years ago, and I was just sharing with him a few of the revelations the Lord had been putting on my heart. And he goes, oh, wow, that's interesting, you know. And because I'm telling him, you know, kind of tentatively, because I'm thinking, oh boy, I'm going to get like a rebuke or something like that, you know, because over the past 5 years, I've been really thinking more and more about that. You know, I'm a spirit. I live in a body. You guys have heard this before. I'm a soul and I live in a body, you know, and I'm more spirit than I am anything. You know, I'm already eternal more than I'm physical. You know, this earthly realm is really more of an illusion than reality. You know, so I was telling these things to him and he was agreeing. And then he said, you know, well, and I was listening to an individual at that time. He says, well, can I hear some of the stuff? And then once he started listening, things opened up for him. And he's not like talking to angels every single day. I don't want to make it sound like that. But he became more aware of their activity and actually had a revelation that they had been with him his whole life. And that they had assisted him at times when he was in difficult ways, that they had delivered him out of those situations. And you know, it's hard for some people to hear because we are so physically minded. We're thinking of this physical realm so much that when we hear about the spiritual realm, it seems like it should be taboo. But the spiritual realm is where the physical realm has come from. Mm-hmm. Everything we have in the physical has come from the spiritual. And when we become born again, when we born from above, however you want to put it, we become full spiritual beings. We take on that same nature as God has. The light of the glorious gospel shines in our heart, and we get to see things and experience things as a new, alive spiritual being. And when I you know, received Christ, immediately things started to happen to me right away. I didn't understand them. And it seemed like the longer I was in the church, the further away I got from those things because they became
the indoctrination of the church.
they became not as important, because what became important was how I followed the process of being a Christian, yes, instead of just the life of God that was born in me. Case in point, I was like, and we're getting a little late, but you know, I'm brand new Christian. I think like maybe 2 days I started just following the Lord, and we're at a meeting and they're talking about that. They're trying to make a decision. They're talking about that, you know, fasting. I have no idea what fasting is. I'm listening to them, and all I know is this scripture comes up in my head, and I just barely opened the Bible. I think I was reading Proverbs. And so I take it, and I'm hearing this verse verbatim, Matthew something something. And I turned to it, and I said, "Hey guys, when you fast, do not do as." And I'm just like reading, you know, and they're like, you know, and then verbatim, you know, and it's like that stuff was alive in me, because I didn't have any other information to squelch it. And unfortunately, so many of us Christians, if we would have just, I think, been in a way left alone and let God work on us, we'd probably be a lot further along.
Way better.
Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, church, you know, the organized religion. But it's really true. It almost takes the fire out of us. How many times you heard a new baby Christian, you know, like, "Hey, can we do this? Can we pray?" "Oh, no, we can't do that." You know, it's like, "Oh, why?" "Well, because it's not in the guidelines." So,
but,
oh, they were blowing the doors off. Yeah, exactly. All right.
Hello, yes.
Yeah. So praise the Lord. Well, Father, we thank you for this time. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have commanded your angels to have charge over us. And Lord, we don't know how that's all going to work in the coming days, but Lord, we're open to allowing them to work for us.
Yes,
and help us to honor them. Help us to, Lord, to assist them when necessary with our prayers and with our faith and confidence that you have placed them in this time for us, for our service, so that we can become all that you've called us to be, so that we can become like Jesus. And Lord, we know that sometimes difficulties will come, and let us not lose faith and heart, Lord, when we do go through trials and struggles and where it doesn't look like they're there with us. Help us to be confident, Lord, that no matter what the circumstances look like, you are there and you have your angels there to help us. We just ask this now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Jesse, you didn't say anything.
No.
I thought maybe you had some insight on angels.
Sometimes I just want to listen.
Huh?
Sometimes I just want to listen.
Sometimes you just want to listen. Okay, I'll let you get by with that. All right, well, God bless you all. If you're watching the Super Bowl, may your team win. I don't know which one to root for, so. What's that?